Less than 2 weeks after carrying out orders to lay off 150 newsroom workers, the publisher of the Los Angeles Times resigned earlier this month in protest. The Times now finds itself without a publisher, advertising director, foreign editor, editorial editor, or UN bureau chief. And Sam Zell, owner of the Times, says that the downsize results from, quote, some of the worst advertising numbers in the history of the world. The LA Times is owned by the Chicago Tribune, whose editor also resigned after 7 years on the job after the paper announced that 80 positions would be cut. Newspapers across the country face similar problems, and readers worry that journalistic quality will suffer. In his recent article, So Goes the Newsroom, The Empire and the World, veteran journalist Chris Hedges writes critically of the dangerous influence of corporations on news. Hedges argues that democracy requires unbiased information and an educated populace, but he sees threats to both in modern American society. He concludes that these shifts are, quote, leaving us deaf, dumb, and blind. Chris Hedges is a former correspondent for the New York Times for nearly two decades. He's the author of several books and a guest here on Uprising quite often. His latest book is I Don't Believe in Atheists, and his article about the newspaper industry is on truthdig.com as well as commondreams.org. He joins us on the phone right now. Welcome to Uprising, Chris.
Thank you.
So the standard wisdom, Chris, is that the internet killed the newspaper. What do you say to that?
Well, it's not quite that simple. There are many factors that have gone into killing newspapers, the primary factor being, of course, the flight of advertising revenue, which has seen a precipitous decline, especially recently in the last a few months. This decline has been quite dramatic. I mean, we've seen 6,000 journalists. I mean, you just recited what's happening to the LA Times, but nationwide, 6,000 journalists have lost their jobs this year alone. News pages are being radically cut back. Newspaper stocks have tumbled. I think the New York Times is down around $12 or something. Advertising revenues have, in most papers now, fallen, have double-digit drops, and you have some of the largest publishing companies like McClatchy, which publishes the Miami Herald, has seen shares fall by 77% in the last year. The San Francisco Chronicle is losing $1 million a week. There is an acceleration of the implosion and destruction within newspapers. I think that the question is whether newspapers can be transferred to the internet, and I think that it's clear now that the internet will not save newspapers.
So just on the point of advertising leaving newspapers or this loss of advertising, one might imagine that it's the internet that's pulling away advertising from newspapers. Is that at all accurate?
Not to newspaper websites, and that's the problem for newspapers. Newspaper websites make up less than 10% of newspaper ad revenue, and although net advertising amounts to about $21 billion a year, this is, given the newspaper industry, incredibly small. The fact is that most advertisers have stayed away from newspaper websites, whether that's because they're unsure of how to use the internet, or they're suspicious that it can't match viewer attention of the older media, or I don't know. But the notion that the internet is good, that it's just another delivery system, is false.
So essentially, just on that point again, the nature of the internet is such that all that advertisers care about is how many hits a site gets. It's almost as though every website is a de facto newspaper from the perspective of an advertiser, and so all these advertising dollars are being spread out over more sites?
Right. The newspaper websites have just not been able to corral the advertisers the way the print medium could. And that's the problem. And that's a very serious problem. I am not at all blind to the corporate intrusion in the newspaper business. After all, unfortunately, we live in a nation where five corporations, Time Warner, Disney, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, General Electric, and Viacom, at this point control almost everything we read, watch, hear, and ultimately think. But at the same time, newspapers are a vital instrument in maintaining a democracy. And when they're well run, they are more than a business. They're a public trust. They provide the means for citizens to examine themselves, to ferret out lies, to, you know, the abuse of power by elected officials. You know, large newsrooms, the LA Times, of course, it's slashing and burning, but it's now down still to about 700 people. Hire people to write about City Hall, the state capitol, political campaigns, sports, music, art, theater. They keep readers engaged with their cultural, civic, and political life. And when I started as a foreign correspondent in Latin America about 25 years ago, most of the major city papers, including like the Philadelphia Inquirer, Dallas Morning News, Miami Herald, had bureaus in Latin America, in the Middle East, in Europe, in Asia, in Moscow. There was an effort to show Americans the world beyond our borders, how people looked, what they thought, what they believed. All of that's virtually gone or in the process of being dismantled. Mm-hmm. And the consequences are going to be tremendous because the Internet is not, you know, there may be a few sites like ProPublica or Slate or the Truth Dig, which I write for, that attempt to protect news gathering. But their staffs are tiny. They don't compare to papers. And I, you know, most of the Internet is parasitic in the sense that, you know, they feed off of reporting by traditional news gathering industries like newspapers and wire services, I'd guess probably 80%. And if you take that away, we're left with, you know, a gigantic black hole that I don't see how it's going to be filled.
Now, Chris, you say in your article the decline of newspapers is about the rise of the corporate state. And isn't it, you know, if you sort of dig beneath the surface and look at the larger picture, isn't it true that essentially newspapers are run as businesses and the goal of every business is to make money ultimately? The bottom line is what's at stake. Would you say that in a way, newspapers maybe have killed themselves because they're run as businesses rather than functioning in the public trust, perhaps as nonprofits?
Well, that's a theory that advocates, you know, John Carroll and others have put out, that if newspapers maintain their role as a public trust, they will keep their readers. I'm not sure that that's true, and I think commercial television is a good example of that. The fact is, by pandering to celebrity gossip and salacious garbage and trivia, and we've seen commercial news networks now essentially do this, ratings go up. You know, people like that trash. It's the lowest common denominator, and it works. And that's why television news no longer has foreign bureaus. It's why virtually there is no news on television. But they make money. And this is, you know, the consolidation of the media by large corporations, I mean, like General Electric, which, of course, you know, is not only controlling the information we get but making the weapon systems that drive and help fuel the military-industrial state that we live in. You know, this, we're, you know, to steal a line from Neil Postman, where we're all sort of being, you know, amusing ourselves to death. The FCC, this is just an example of how far our standards have fallen, defines shows like Fox, Celebrity Gossip Program, TMZ, and the Christian Broadcast Network 700 Club, and I'm quoting, as bona fide newscasts.
Right, which of course allows them to get away with much more editorializing than they would otherwise be able to. Chris Hedges is my guest, a former correspondent for the New York Times for nearly two decades, veteran journalist, reported from many, many countries around the world and really knows the newspaper industry intimately. He's written an article about the newspaper industry called So Goes the Newsroom, the Empire, and the World. Now, you talked about television news, and you talked about also how the Internet has been parasitic in terms of news gathering. I'm wondering, you know, if we look at how the music industry has been in a way redefined by the rise of the Internet, which has been parasitic to that industry as well, and with the advent of videos and popularity of online videos, whether you think the television industry is going to go that route route as well, where it may also start to lose money. And could all of this perhaps in the end not be a good thing? Could it not be a situation where we get more access, public access to information, to music, to videos, and have it be a sort of more democratic form of information sometime in the future?
I think not. I think we live under the illusion that we can transfer. Let's just take news gathering, which is something I know a little more about than the music industry, to the internet. You know, people, those who rely on the internet, they gravitate towards sites that reinforce their beliefs. And most of these internet sites, especially I think the ones that descend into the worst kind of propaganda and editorializing, filter information through an ideological lens. That's, you know, we see that, you know, through Fox News. We see it on commercial TV. But that process defies the purpose of reporting. Good reporting is about transmitting information that doesn't care what people think. It is meant to challenge or countermand or destabilize established beliefs. It's very time-consuming and often very expensive. And it begins from the premise that there are things that we should know and understand, even if these things make us uncomfortable. And I think that's the ethic that we're losing, and we're losing it to. I think the internet is you know, culpable in this, and a kind of pandering and partisanship, in sort of competing propaganda. You know, bloggers don't admit errors. They don't pick up a phone, much less report. They can't get fired. And I think for most bloggers, facts are interchangeable with opinions. And what I fear is that, you know, the future of what we call news is going to end up looking like the Drudge Report.
Chris, finally, what advice then do you give to both the lovers of newspapers, those of us who love reading newspapers and holding an actual paper in our hand, and the industry itself, and particularly newsroom workers?
Well, it's part of a wider problem in that, you know, we are moving from a print-based society to an image-based society. You know, the readers of the New York Times, from surveys, the average reader of the print edition of the Times spends 45 minutes reading the paper. The average viewer of the Times on the internet spends about 7 minutes. Browsing isn't reading. And I think that this is part of a kind of cultural degeneration. It's not just about the rise of the corporate state, although, of course, the corporate state has a vested interest in shutting the prying eyes of reporters as they rape the country. It's not just about the loss of civic and public responsibility on the part of our entrepreneurial class, but it's also, finally, about the intellectual poverty of a post-literate world, a world where information is now conveyed primarily through rapidly moving images rather than print.
And do you also sort of see a major generational difference? I mean, one of the differences between those reading times that you mentioned, 7 minutes on the New York Times website versus 45 minutes in the print edition, may be a generational difference.
Well, certainly, because, you know, as with the rise of the internet and you know, with the sort of infusion of television into the lives of children, we have created a world where there's less and less space for people to exist as literate human beings. And by that I mean, you know, there's a huge difference between reading a 400-page book and taking apart its arguments, deconstructing its arguments, and grappling with complexity and ambiguity, which can only be done in that kind of length, and leaping from channel to channel or website to website. And I think that we are seeing, you know, this cultural impoverishment of which I think the internet is part. That's my dog. Sorry. Cultural impoverishment destroy the very pillars that have allowed us to remain informed about the world around us, and a society that loses the capacity to distinguish between lies and truth can no longer be called a democracy.
Chris Hedges, I want to thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll link to your site from our website.
Thank you.
Chris Hedges, former correspondent for the New York Times for nearly two decades, author of several books, his latest, I Don't Believe in Atheists. We've had him on the program before. You can read his article about the newspaper industry on its decline at commondreams.org as well as truthdig.com.